From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, September 23rd, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Be there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work. Hold those shoulders back, straighten your backbone, put a smile on your face, and keep a prayer on your lips, and everything should be okay. Should be. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Like this, it says, hot heads and cold hearts never solved anything. I'm sure that's true. Cool heads and warm hearts, on the other hand.
Oh, I like that.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
I'm excited.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Really?
Some cool, some not so cool.
Boy.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Really?
You might be quizzed.
Oh, come on. Nobody's buying that anymore. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1938, the Westinghouse Electric Corporation buried a time capsule at the construction site of their pavilion for the 1939 New York World's Fair in New York City. The idea was that the capsule would be opened in the year 6939. Boy, is that ever optimistic. That capsule and another one from the 1964 World's Fair are still there in Flushing Meadows in Queens, 50 feet underground. And it was on this day in 1983, the Space Shuttle Columbia was moved to the Vehicle Assembly Building at the Kennedy Space Center for mating with the booster rocket for the STS-9, which was the ninth Space Shuttle mission and the sixth mission for Columbia. I find it very interesting that those engineers choose the word mating rather than integrating.
You need serious, serious help.
As much as the current government likes to push EVs, all in the name of saving the environment, and there's still no real proof that ICE vehicles, internal combustion engine vehicles, are adjusting the Earth's temperature. There's no proof to that yet. As much as the EVs are being pushed by the government every couple of days, certainly, oh, all right, maybe that's an exaggeration. Every couple of months, there are new negatives that come up about EVs. First of all, you can't find charging stations, okay? And then when you do, you pull up to a charging station and it's been vandalized. Somebody vandalized it to steal the copper from it. You know, they're basically a pain in the butt. And if you rely on your car for your business, for instance, you're in outside sales. In outside sales, you've got to have your vehicle. You don't have the time it takes to recharge your car over the space of a couple of hours. So you need an ICE vehicle. That's all there is to it. Quite frankly, I think EVs are the wrong way to go, and I think they're going to end up failing. The entire EV push will fail because Toyota is onto something that I think is going to prove to be the vehicle of the future. And it's not just an experiment anymore. Toyota's in the throes of actually developing hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. And what they've done is they have successfully manufactured or built, because manufacturing implies that they're mass producing them, so I don't want to use that word. But they have built some test vehicles that have already clocked quite a few miles in testing. And you can refuel these hydrogen vehicles in roughly 5 minutes, some cases less. Well, now, who doesn't have 5 minutes to refuel their vehicle, right? And the only pollutant, the only exhaust that comes out of a hydrogen vehicle is water. That's it. Water vapor. Now, could it, if used as massively as ICE engines are used, could it create a more humid climate? Nah, I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe. But that's the only downside I can find. But Toyota is aggressively pursuing the hydrogen-fueled vehicle. In fact, so much to the point where they're discontinuing their EV manufacturing. Now, they're going to continue to build EV vehicles for a little while, but they have no desire at Toyota to try to compete with the likes of a Tesla or Rivian or any of the GM or Ford vehicles that are being made as electrics. Chrysler as well. Of course, Chrysler right now seems to be up in the air because they're being run by an idiot out of Italy, a fellow by the name of Carlos Tavares. And this guy can't find his ass with both hands and a GPS. And he seems to be in the process right now of trying to destroy Chrysler. I don't know. Chrysler is either going to go the way of the dinosaur or it's going to emerge as an amazing company. It depends on how the efforts to buy Chrysler from Stellantis goes. That's a subject for a whole nother program. And aren't you glad I'm not doing politics at the moment? I'm going to get into politics here in a few minutes, but it's nice to talk about something else for a change. So here we got these EVs. And of course, the real power behind an EV is super huge, super expensive batteries. Well, we're finding out through a study conducted by the University of Nebraska that current guardrail systems across the country on our highways, which are designed to protect vehicles weighing up to 5,000 pounds, are insufficient to stop the weightier electric vehicles, almost all of which far exceed the 5,000-pound threshold. Now, crash tests from the University of Nebraska, again, demonstrated that a Rivian R1T electric pickup truck weighing nearly 8,000 pounds. Gee, can you imagine how short the lifespan for a set of tires on a vehicle like that would be? All right, so anyhow, this Rivian, weighing nearly 8,000 pounds, tore through a steel guardrail during a high-speed collision, barely slowing down before hitting a concrete barrier. Well, this can't be allowed to stand, right? So, more study is required, of course, but this is a huge contrast to the performance of lighter gasoline-powered vehicles for which guardrails have been traditionally designed. Now, the battery technology that powers these electric trucks and SUVs adds nothing but weight, often 20 to 50% more than their combustion engine counterparts. Now, the extra weight stems from the massive lithium-ion batteries, and that's what's required to provide a reasonable, what they call a reasonable driving range. For instance, the Ford F-150 Lightning EV is approximately 2,000 to 3,000 pounds heavier than its gasoline-powered equivalent. Almost, but not quite, double the weight of the ICE-powered F-150. You know, it's just amazing. Now, this huge weight disparity is not just a concern for infrastructure, because heavier vehicles mean that the pavement on roads won't last as long, right? It also means tires won't last as long, and there is such a thing as tire pollution, because as tires break down on the roads, they send a rubber compound, a synthetic rubber compound powder into the air. Now, I'm not saying that we're breathing that stuff, but it can't be good, right? So this also raises questions about just overall road safety, particularly in accidents, of course, involving lighter vehicles or roadside barriers. What do you think happens when you have a big Rivian battery-powered EV pickup truck colliding with, a Toyota Camry? You know, the outcome's not going to be very pretty. Now, they say that guardrails are critical safety features, and of course they are, and they're meant to prevent vehicles from veering off the road in dangerous areas like cliffs or bridges. And first thing that comes to mind are places like the Virginias, the North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky, you know, where you have a lot of hills, winding roads. But this study Again, it was University of Nebraska found that these guardrails fail when confronted with the immense force generated by heavier electric vehicles during collisions. And in a lot of cases, instead of slowing down, the vehicles continue through the barriers. So what kind of damage do you think that does? Moreover, while heavier vehicles offer increased protection for their occupants, they can be lethal to those in lighter cars. And these studies have shown that the probability of fatalities increases when heavier vehicles like EVs or large SUVs collide with smaller traditional vehicles. Now, according to data from the National Bureau of Economic Research, the risk of death in a crash increases by 47% for every additional 1,000 pounds of vehicle weight. So naturally, this issue becomes even more pressing because government policies are pushing for greater EV adoption. Now, I'm hoping that ends with the election of Donald Trump. It should. Because this is no doubt about it, a Biden-Harris administration talking point. It's a big campaign of theirs to get everybody to move over to EVs. It's stupid. EVs are immensely impractical vehicles, particularly for those situations where people depend on their vehicles to make their living. The EV is the worst way you could possibly go. Now, the U.S. Department of Transportation's NHTSA, you know, the National Highway Transportation or Traffic Safety Administration, that's what it is, they're proposing stringent new fuel economy standards that could force nearly two-thirds of new auto sales to be electric by 2032. And I'm betting a week's pay that this will ultimately fail. This mandate, which first of all is unconstitutional, but this mandate will fail. It will go down. And you better pray that it does. I've been saying for well over a year that I can't understand how we can avoid civil war, looking at the way we're going. And of course, so much of this is brought on by our mainstream media, both print and broadcast media, print and electronic media. And of course, a lot of this is fanned also by social media. It all plays into this same witch's brew. We're just an angry nation. We just are. And I don't know what it's going to take to fix this anger, this national anger. But you've got people on the conservative side who are angry. You've got people who are on the leftist side, the Democrat side, who are angry. And I think in a lot of cases on the left, they don't know why they're angry. They just are. That's their nature. You ever notice how negative Democrats are? Everything is always bad, 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 bad. And it starts with people like Hillary Clinton. Every time she opens her damn mouth, everything is bad, 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 bad. She's got nothing positive to say. And yet millions of people follow that bitch. And she is, I think, that proverbial existential threat to America. She really is. I think the best thing that could happen for this nation and the Western world would be for her to just croak. I'm sorry to have to speak in those terms, but I just chose to speak truth today. The woman is evil. She has never accomplished a positive thing. Never. I will challenge any of my listeners to bring forth, just email me at danjgallo@hotmail.com. Email me one positive thing that bitch has done for America. The best thing I can think of that she could do for this country is just croak, leave the planet, or just retire somewhere. I don't want to wish anybody's death. I don't want to. But that woman has done nothing but destroy everything in her path. She's not the only person like that. I could probably come up, given a few minutes, I could probably come up with a list of names of people on the left who would greatly improve the planet if they would just leave this world. I can think of a few people on the right as well. I'll start with the Cheneys. Liz and Dick Cheney. These are all people who are into the deep state. The deep state is who is running the country. The question, at least finally, is being asked publicly. Well, who's really running the White House? It's obviously not Joe Biden, and it's obviously not Kamala Harris. Who is running the White House? The deep state is running the White House. All right, who's the deep state? Well, it's Barack Obama. It's George Soros. And they're not the only two running it. It's being run by committee. And the people who are running this country these days are unelected individuals. All right, so this is where I want to point this out. Chris Cuomo, I've never been a fan of the guy. I've never been a fan of the Cuomos. But Chris Cuomo, on his program about a week ago, not quite a week ago, had some stunning things to say about Donald Trump. No, he's not switching sides. Chris Cuomo's not switching sides. He's not suddenly become a Donald Trump fan. It's nothing as dramatic as that, but I want you to listen for the next few minutes to what Chris Cuomo had to say. This was just a little less than a week ago. And it's really stunning, and it reinforces what I've been saying for quite some time, about the deep state is actually running the country, and he doesn't even mention them. But when you hear what he has to say, all of these little things that I've been saying for the last year, year and a half, seem to fall into place. And again, it leads me to what's going to happen after the election. I don't understand how this nation can avoid civil war. Here's Chris Cuomo. We're going to pick him up about a third of the way. No, more than that. But we're going to pick him up while his... monologue was in progress.
And you can think what you want about Trump. He does not have many more full-throated critics of what he says and does than me. Okay? And yet I called him today because I am ashamed of how we are responding and not responding to the threats on him. And I feel for his family. And I know you can roll your eyes and say, oh, yeah, he asked for it. Listen, that's your choice. And I think it's a wrong choice. OK. We got to get out of the judgment business unless it's judging ourselves. And you got to start rewarding things that are better. And I got to tell you, I don't know how he stays in the race. I don't know how he got up after being shot in the head. And you people who try to mitigate that, you need to check yourself. He gets up. Pumping his fist, stays in the race, barely even talks about it. Now, look, I do believe he has wasted opportunities and he has another one now. Who better than Trump to say, we can do better? I can do better. I know he keeps doubling down on his angry rhetoric. How can he not? It keeps working for him. I don't know that it gets him elected. My theory is that he needs to expand. He had a chance to do it after he was the target of an assassination at the RNC. He had a chance to say, I know what got me here. It's not going to get me where I want us to be. He did not take that chance. He now has another chance. Oh, you're supporting Trump. I'm supporting us. The idea that I am a Trump supporter is laughable to the man on your screen right now. That is not what this is. I am worried about us. I am ashamed of what's happening around us right now and the relative lack of concern about it. I just don't see how we get anywhere better than where we are right now. Look, I'm not blaming Democrats. I'm really not. I blame the guy. And whatever disease he has that the people around him either knew about and did nothing about, the guy was arrested 20 years ago for barricading himself in a room with all these weapons. Where are we caring about one another? Where are we taking care of our own? Where are we pushing to get help? We're leaving people languishing, dying on the streets. What is going on with us? I don't get it. That's why I reached out to Trump. I wanted to just say, listen, I'm really sorry that this is going on and it's being dealt with this way. Not because I'm in favor of his politics or what he says. I criticize him all the time. That's my job. And he deserves it. But he doesn't deserve this. A guy pointing an AK-47 at him while he's playing golf? And we take solace in the fact that the guy didn't get any rounds off? That does not work for me. If I had been through what that guy's been through in the last 2 months, you would not know where I am. You would never see me on TV again. No way I would do that. I don't know how he does it. He's got kids, they're adults, but he's got grandkids. He's got a wife. People giving crap to Melania Trump, worrying about whether or not there was a plot around his husband. How could she not? I don't think she's right, but I totally get why she feels that way. And people mock her. And then her husband has a guy pointed with an AK-47. Where are those people apologizing? That's what it's time for. I should not have come at you, Melania Trump, for suggesting that maybe there was something more afoot. I get your paranoia. I get your feelings. You have a right to that. There's nothing wrong with saying that, with being a basic, decent human being. It has gotten too out of control, too far from where we need to be and how we need to be. And I don't know what to do about it.
Well, I know what to do about it. Vote for Donald Trump. But this really points out how more and more people, I mean, if Chris Cuomo is starting to get it, Chris Cuomo, of all people, if he's starting to understand what's afoot here, more and more people are starting to understand it. And I think that's going to show up on November 5th. But the fact of the matter is, the deep state is trying to kill Donald Trump. Because that's the only way they can see that Donald Trump will not be a threat, or anybody else for that matter, be a threat to bringing the deep state down. These people don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to lose their power. So they're out to kill Donald Trump. There will be more attempts on Donald Trump's life. Maybe not now if he were to lose. Maybe not. But if he wins in November, which I think he will, if he wins, there will be more attempts on his life. And they are going to continue these attempts until they succeed in killing him. Since being anointed the presidential nominee of the Democrat Party, technically Vice President Kamala Harris has had a surge in popularity that her supporters have called Kamala-mentum. Isn't that cute? Almost like Kamala Mama. But a lot of them are the same people who insisted there was Joe-mentum for President Joe Biden as he was cratering in the polls and eventually replaced as the party's nominee, just like is often done in banana republics. And now it appears that Kamala-mentum has ground to a halt. And the pendulum's starting to swing back toward Donald Trump. I expected this. I think you did too. As new polls start to be shown, and there'll be more and more. I mean, they're going to be coming in rapid succession between now and election day, since we're, what, a month and a half away from the election? They show the former president gaining ground on Harris in key battleground states, meaning it's probably unlikely that her debate performance did anything to give her the bump she desired. And of course, her appearance on Oprah the other night. I would love to be a fly on the wall in Oprah Winfrey's living room right now. I would love to hear conversations between her and Stedman, if she's still with him, because Oprah has got to be slapping her forehead with the palm of her hand saying, what was I thinking? Because that program was a complete disaster. Now, a new poll from the New York Times, of all places, and Siena College showed Harris and Trump tied at 47 points nationwide, while the Real Clear Politics average of polls shows the vice president with a 1.9% edge, which is where it's been since the start of the month. And oddly enough, I forgot what show he was on the other night, but what's his name? Anderson Cooper. Whose show was he on? I forget. But it was one of the late night talk shows, one of the shows that, you know, that these leftist so-called comedians host. Anyhow, Anderson Cooper said he doubts these polls showing Kamala Harris ahead. He says, I don't know if I buy them. Well, I'm with him on that, and I rarely agree with him. But in the battleground state of Pennsylvania, for instance, Harris is shown to have a 4 percentage point lead over Trump, 50 to 46. I'm not buying that. But that poll appears to be an outlier, as the Real Clear Politics average for Pennsylvania only has Harris ahead by 1 percentage point, 48 to 47. Now, the Hill Emerson College poll had even better news for Trump, as it showed him ahead 50% to 47% in Georgia, 49% to 48% in Arizona and Wisconsin, with a tie in Nevada at 48%. Stunningly, Harris was shown to be ahead of her rival, 49% to 48% in North Carolina, and not as surprisingly, 49% to 47% in Michigan. But even if she were to take Nevada in that scenario, Trump would still have the electoral votes needed to secure the presidency. And that's the important part. That's what we all need to know. So the Real Clear Politics map gives Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nevada to Harris, while North Carolina, Georgia, and Arizona go to Trump, which would put the electoral votes at 276 to 262. That's the electoral votes in favor of Harris, which would hand her the presidency. Now, one of the country's most reliable pollsters is pushing back on the Democrat narrative that Kamala is steamrolling Donald Trump, noting that according to the most recent data, Trump is doing much better now at this point in the election cycle than his previous White House bids, both 2016 and 2020. In an interview with Fox News' Laura Ingraham, this is back on Thursday, Matt Towery discussed the latest data and proclaimed that while Trump is well ahead of Harris, the left-leaning media and other pollsters are going to say she's ahead. Gee, surprise, surprise. The propaganda will continue. It's going to continue. In fact, it's going to be coming faster and more furiously between now and Election Day. Just ignore it. To the Comedy Corner with Mark Pitta.
You know, I troll Amazon for music, and I just thought of this. I think this is cool because I created a trivia question. But I was just looking at music. Remember Tammy Wynette? Country singer, big hit, Stand By Your Man. And what a great sentiment that is. Stand by your man. Relationships are hard. You got to work hard at it. There's going to be some rough patches. What was her next song? D-I-V-O-R-C-E. I like all kinds of music. I have Shazam. Do you have the app Shazam? Oh, get it. You hear a song on the radio, you know who it is. It records it, and it boop, calculates. It tells you who it is, link to their YouTube videos. Yeah. And the Bee Gees came on. I go, oh, I don't know this song. Tragedy, you can't, not a walk through better tragedy. I'm glad it not. It came out, Alvin and the Chipmunks. Okay, it doesn't work all the time. You ever get a song stuck in your head, you can't get rid of it? You do? Yeah. I saw a woman at the supermarket. She's pushing her cart. Who let the dogs out? Who? Like, wow. At least she was singing the right lyrics. Never go to lyrics.com because you'll be shocked at what you've been singing incorrectly your entire life. I used to sing Secret Asian Man. Don't fear the reefer. No. It is the dawning of the age of asparagus. Come on. I got two chickens to pay. Billy Idol. It's a nice day for a light sweater. It's a nice day for a cardigan. I love when a song triggers a memory and whisks you back in time. If something very significant happened to you in your life and a song was playing, that song is married to that moment, and when you hear that song, you're right back in that space. I had a high school girlfriend for 3 weeks. That was the only high school girlfriend I ever had. Sister Golden Hair was number one for 3 weeks. That's our song, right? When I lost my virginity, this is, must have been playing. It's by Billie Eilish. What is it? That's a long way to go, but it was a good question.
Speaking of Marvy, Monday, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.